Well, we've been in a series about just who God is, and I want to talk about God as being the God who is peace, the God who is peace. We're going to look at Gideon's life for a little bit, and Gideon is Judges chapter 6, and right before there we have the story in Judges chapter 5, we have the story of Deborah and Barak, and how they, the very last line of that verse says, there was rest in the land for 40 years, rest in the land for 40 years, and then we open up chapter 6 with the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Have you ever had a disobedient child and you give them a time out? So they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the word evil there is bad. They were bad. They weren't good children. They were bad. And it says he gave them into the hand of the Midians. Let's go ahead and look at the next little line up here. It's sin has consequences. Have you figured that out yet? How many of you have had a timeout from being disobedient, doing something? Now, the nature of their disobedience had to do with breaking the first commandment, having no other gods before him. Because later we find out in the story, which we'll catch up to that, in a little bit, that Gideon is asked by the Lord to deal with an altar, to a false god, which is a big point today in our message later on. So we have, you shall have no other gods before me. And what happens is, not only do they have a struggle, see, what's going on is the nature of what the Midianites did to them is that when their crops were about to come up, they would come out of the hills like locusts. So the amount of camels they had, they would just come down and they would take everything and disappear with it. And they're just so no matter what, the consequences was that they could not get ahead. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. Because in your own life and my life, when we're struggling and we think that everything should be going fine, but we have other gods before God and we're not doing well, my wife looks at me and goes, "And what are those?" We'll get to that, honey. We'll get to that. How many of you have struggled with having God first in your life? You don't have to touch the ceiling. Having no other gods before Him. That can be all kinds of things, can it? You see, an idol or a high thing in your life is anything that you look to first other than God. Anything that you turn to for comfort in the midst of your situation instead of the Lord. Kind of makes it easy. And so we all struggle with the first commandment, don't we? So here we are. They come down out of the hills. And it's in this context that we have the people begin to cry out to the Lord. And as the people begin to cry out to the Lord, there's also a response from the Lord, and it comes down to a certain person. In verse 11, there's a call, the call of Gideon. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the terebinth. This is a tree here at Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash, his dad, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, listen to this, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. How many of you realize that God values you more than you value yourself? The Lord values you more than you, because He's going to solve a big problem. And most people don't realize that the impact of their life has a lot of influence. Your life has more, it's more than just you. Most people, when they're into their own little selfish problem, they're not thinking of it in terms of how many people are being affected by it. But when the Lord wants to come into a situation and solve the situation, He needs to have you respond to him. And this is really amazing because he comes and he says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. He's with you. And watch what Gideon's response is really interesting. He says, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? The Lord didn't say he was with us. He said he was with you. When the Lord wants to pour his favor and change a situation, he goes and hunts up somebody. And he's going to have an effect through that person. Are you there? And he has this answer that's like, Gideon, are you not aware that the impact of the evil that is in the land is because they've done evil in the sight of the Lord? Look what he says. He says, well, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? That's almost like, well, if God's good, why is all this bad stuff going on? Same kind of thought, isn't it? And the Lord's going, I'm not talking to them. And let me go ahead and tell you, the reason all much evil in the world is because you and I live here. And you have a free will. You're not a little robot that God controls. Are you there? Hello? Let me ask you this question instead. How can anybody reject a loving God? Let's flip that over. How can anybody reject a loving God who comes and lays his life down for you and offers you everything he is, eternal life and the blessing of his ways and the anointing of his touch? How can anybody, let's say that, how can anybody reject a loving God? See, you're in your old previous saved state of mind, you would say, if God's good, how can
all this bad happen?
And then your saved state, you go, how can anybody reject? Let's put it back in there. Because Jesus Christ has come and he's laid down his life. He's carried all the burden of every single problem that you and I have to the cross. There's not anything outside of his capacity to bring healing to bring wholeness to in every way in our life. He invites us to look. How many of you figured it's a faith job because you've got to trust in someone? When he came to Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Right? And so we're in this situation with Gideon. And Gideon is acting like God's speaking to everybody, but Jesus is the angel of the Lord's only speaking just to him. And so he responds like this, and now I think this is very interesting. The answer, the Lord turns to him and answers and says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? It's like, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. And then the Lord says, but I will be with you. He comes back. I'll be with you. You strike the Midianites as one man. Just like your life, just like my life, when the Lord comes in and begins to deal with us personally, we have a tendency to think he's talking about everything around us. But he's not talking about everybody around us. He's talking to you. So God clarifies. The favor is on Gideon, not on everyone else. But it will help the others. Just elbow somebody and say, the favor's on me. Go ahead, then. The favor's on me. It'll help you. It'll help you, but the favor's on me. Because he says, I'm going to take you. And now, this is, of course, when the Lord starts to, when we're brand new in this kind of stuff and the Lord begins to work in our life, we are not really attuned to him very much. You know, God will give you a vision and you'll think it's supposed to happen now. You know what I mean? And you run off and try to make it happen. And you will pull those things. And the Lord says, no, I have to take you through a process and develop you and get the character in your life so that you can actually carry what I've assigned you to do. And there's points of obedience. I'm going to test your heart, make sure everything works out. I'm going to take some time and develop you. And we're going to work this out. We're going to work through you. Well, he had a quick growth thing for Gideon here because Gideon had several things where he wanted to make sure this was actually God because he didn't have the best self-image. He was kind of on the low totem pole in his tribe. And he's saying, God, how come you all this bad stuff is happening? In his dad's backyard, there's an altar to Baal. He says, you don't see that there's sin all in your family. You guys are really, really, really got an altar going to it. And this is a fertility god. They're committing sexual acts to try to have a good harvest to a false god. Okay. Now, I don't know what the sin of your choice is and what you look to first, the comfort of your life. But when the Lord begins to speak to you and He says He's calling you on, He's declaring that there's faith in your life and it's going to make a change in your life and the change of those around you. He says, I want to... You got to make sure, right? You got to make sure this is God's doing this. And Gideon's like, hold on, don't leave. Don't leave. Will you just hang out here? And he says, yeah, I'll stay here. I want to go get some food for you. He goes and he kills a young a lamb, roasts the whole thing, gets like a bushel full of bread. I mean, really makes a bunch of flat bread coming out. It's got a great meal, a big bowl of broth. He brings it all out. And this angel of the Lord says, I want a sign. He tells the angel of the Lord, I want a sign. He says, well, put it on this rock here. And he puts the lamb there, and he puts the bread there, and he pours the broth all over it. And the angel of the Lord takes his staff and touches it, and suddenly it's consumed in a fire. It's all gone. He goes, there's your sign. And he says, truly, I have seen the face of the Lord. And he builds an altar right there. He builds an altar to the Lord, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. He calls that altar, the Lord is my peace. Now get this. You might come to a point where you're walking through and wrestling with the role God has for you, the assignment He has for you. You might even just come into this place and suddenly build an altar in your heart. And you say, the Lord is my peace. I'm feeling a peace here I haven't had. And He's my Jehovah Shalom. And you build the altar before the Lord. And you dedicate, you consecrate, you submit, you surrender, you vow, you jump in everywhere you want. You just go for it, because you built this altar and you're declaring, are you hearing me? You're just like, whoa, God, God, God. And He's got this whole thing and built an altar and made this declaration. And in one of the names of God is declared, Jehovah Shalom. And it says, and later that same night, God says, here's what I want you to do. Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old. This is the same night he just built the altar to the Lord. And he says, that same day, that night, the Lord speaks to him, take this, your father's bull, the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has. And cut down the Asherah that is beside it. The Asherah is a Canaanite goddess statue. And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with the stones laid in due order. Guys, listen up. You come in here and God profoundly speaks to your life and you make a commitment and you declare that you build an altar. You commit. And he says, okay, good. There's another altar I want you to tear down. It's not in here. It's in your heart. It's in your family background. Or is that right? We can jump up and down all we want, right? And it's good. But the empowerment of the favor of the Lord, after we dedicate ourselves to Him, He says, okay, we're going to go tear down something that's against you and in the way of the victory that I have for you. How many of you know that the peace of the Lord is short-lived if you don't tear down the other altars? And everybody knows what their other altar is. I don't have to go explaining. In fact, I'm almost nervous about explaining because it releases condemnation. I'd prefer the Holy Spirit say, here's the area that's the high thing that you look to in your life other than Jesus. Be empowered with the favor of the Lord upon you because the Lord says, I am with you to overthrow this. Now, here's the funny thing. Gideon was afraid. So he gets 10 of his servants and they go tear it down at night. They tear it down at nighttime and they do exactly what the Lord says. And the next day when all the guys, by the way, this is a quick message. And the next day when all the guys from the city show up, And they see that the altar of Baal has been overthrown. They get really mad. Go ahead and put this last point up here. People you hang out and sin with, when you say, I'm not going to do it anymore, they're going to want to kill you. And especially the ones who have been selling it to you. They want you. Because you've been a supply. Your weakness has made them money. Is that right? In one area of our life. Somehow the merchandising of the souls of men is what the devil is all about. And he wants to get in our life. Now, Gideon goes on, and the Lord begins to say, it's about what I'm doing in you. And as he embraces what the Lord is doing in him, that favor that comes on him, and it takes a person to obey the Lord to have the effect on the rest of them. Somebody's got to rise up and step out and say, I'm going to do it the Lord's way. I'm tearing down the altar. I'm going. Just receive this right now. There's a strength that the Lord wants to put in you. You may not have felt the capacity in your life, but there's a favor coming on your life. I know the Lord put this on me. It has been a real interesting labor in the Spirit. There's some of you in the room. You need to hear how deeply valuable you are to the Lord. And there's a strength and favor coming into your life to rise up and to tear down the altar that's been in your life that the Lord doesn't desire in your life anymore. He says, you bring your sacrifice of praise to me in this place and let me rule over it, and I will break it down and I will cause you to flourish, and great victory will come to you and to your household over the next season of your life. Somebody praise the Lord with me here. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now you disentangle your loved ones from things that have tangled them up. That you would bring wholeness, a depth of wholeness now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just declare your love for us. Hallelujah. We were praying together this week, and the Lord put this word in my heart that goes along with this. He was saying, there's a door. This is like breaking the altar down. He says, there's a door the Lord's desiring to shut. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, the key of David is all about shutting a door that no man can open and opening a door that no man can shut. He will shut something. And the Lord is bringing certain of us to a place where he's saying, I have a door I'm going to open for you, but I can't open that door until this other door is shut. This other door that I'm asking you to shut, I'm asking you to shut. Let me shut it. Don't open the door. Don't keep it open. There are things of your past. All of us have this where you go, well, maybe it's not that bad. But there's got to be a resolution in your heart. I'm not going to go back into that door again. I'm not going to go there again. And there's a prophetic weight and help from the Lord to come and shut a door that has just been too available into a mentality, into weakness. Now here's the deal. The Lord has this other door of blessing to open. He's waiting on you to shut the one door so he can open the other door. The vision you've had is about the other door being open, but he's saying, I'm waiting on you to shut this door so I can open this other door. If you don't shut the other door, I can't open this new door of what I've showed you, what your life is about. You don't get both doors. You don't get both doors. The Lord says, I'm going to shut a door no man can open. I'm going to open a door that no man can shut. the other image that just popped up in my head when that Spirit of the Lord was putting that in me was, remember Lot's wife. They were running from Sodom and Gomorrah, fleeing the fiery hailstones from heaven, destroying a wicked place. And the word of the angels is, don't look back. And Lot didn't look back. And his kids didn't look back. But Lot's wife looked back. And you have a verse in the New Testament that's three words long. You have the other one, Jesus wept, is two words long. But this one's three words long. Remember Lot's wife. She had a door opened in her heart. And the future she really craved and desired was out ahead, and she never got into it because of something that was wrong in her heart. And the Lord wants us to bring, now back to the Gideon. God wants to tear you to partner with him. And if you have to do it and you're afraid, go ahead and do it afraid. But tear down the altar. Tear down the altar. Tear down the altar. Tear down the altar. Build the altar to the Lord where this other... Come on, guys. The Lord has... See, you're a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. You can't do this by yourself, but the Lord is with you, and he can do it in you and through you. And he has other people that he wants to save a great nation through you. He wants to save your family through you. He wants to have influence through you. And the devil has lied to you so long, you've kept this door open. The Lord says, shut the door, tear down the altar, build an altar to the Lord. I'm opening a door for your life that you know down inside. It's that anointed place. It's that wonderful place that the Lord has for you. And he's witnessing in your heart right now. You know I'm telling you the truth. Let's praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. Do business in your heart with the Lord. Receive the breath of the life of God's Spirit in you. Let the empowerment. The Lord has more for your life. Let the hope come in. Let that resonate in your heart. Let that picture of what you... The Lord wants some of you, just wants you to dust off the... It's more than just dusting off a vision. It's the breath, the Lord clarifying afresh to you what the value of your life is and the impact of your life. Thank you, Lord. An altar is made out of hard things. Put in order. You take the hard things that you've gone through in your life and you bring them before the Lord. And you build the altar. An altar is made out of tough stuff. Broken promises. Personal failures. You bring that hard stuff and you set it in order before the Lord. You say, here I am. Everything I've done wrong, everything that I've tried to do, you bring it all. The tough things that you've struggled in, you bring them and you set them before the Lord. You bring your foibles, you bring your inabilities, you bring the things that you've had the greatest, the toughest time with, and you bring them before the Lord. This is what an altar is made out of, hard things. The hard things of your soul, the hard things of your life, And you bring them before the Lord, and then he comes, and he pours his fire. He pours his fire. The sacrifice at an altar is this. It's something that your personal failure, you bring it, and there's an action of your will to say, I'm bringing you myself. And all the Lord is asking you to do is just respond in kind, because he was the sacrifice that covers your sacrifice. His brokenness covers your brokenness. His wholeness covers everything that you have need of. What Jesus did is all about what he's going to do inside of you. There's some of you that you feel like, I've failed so long, it's just your identity is based on your how long you failed. And the Lord says, no, that's not your identity. You're a mighty man of valor. It doesn't matter how long you've tried. The devil has tried to lie to you and tell you over and over and over, you're your sin. And the Lord's saying, you're not your sin. You're not your failures. That's not who you are to Jesus. Why would he have your identity based on what he died to remove from you? Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's agree with this. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, breakthrough. Break through all of my doubts. Break through. Break through all of my fears. Break through. That I may worship you. Oh, break through. Break through all of my pain. Break through. All my guilt and my shame. Break through. That I may worship you. The Lord has spoken a word very deeply in the few of you, very strong, and it's liberating. It's a word of liberty. It's liberating. The hope has risen in your heart about the door that he's going to open, and you feel more than ever the strength of the Spirit to shut the door that you need to shut and stand with the Lord on that shut door. Receive the strength of will that the Lord puts in you. Receive his grace and empowerment today. Would you do that? Let's go ahead and stand together. If you need more prayer and just affirming work of the Lord, we have others that come up here. You can pray and they'll agree with you. Hallelujah. Now, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they would come. First of all, we just take the name of Jesus and we bat away the thief that would come and steal the precious seed. We want to seal this word into our hearts with the authority of the name of Jesus. We come and ask you to strengthen your people and bring liberty in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's love on each other, church.